Välkommen till Hästveterinärerna, en podcast från Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health. I den här podden samtalar vi med specialister från olika områden inom hästmedicinen. Med det gemensamt att de delar vår och din passion för hästarna. Välkommen till Hästveterinärerna, podden för dig som är veterinär eller djursjukskötare och jobbar med häst. Mitt namn är Maria Willemsson. I det här andra avsnittet med Anna Bolin, diplomat i internmedicin på häst och ansvarig på fölavdelningen på Evidensia specialisthästsjukhuset i Helsingborg, så pratar vi vidare om smärta hos föl. Vi går också in på sepsis, som är ju en vanlig åkomma hos föl. Hur det kan yttra sig och hur det behandlas.
Welcome back to the podcast, Anna.
Thank you.
So I wanted to dedicate some moments to talk about pain. What are the challenges? We start with diagnosing or discovering pain. What are the challenges when it comes to recognizing pain in foals?
Well, I think obviously foals, or at least young foals, are new in the world. We don't really know them. So it can be difficult to know what their sort of normal level of, say, activity is, time spent recumbent. And also they can express pain quite violently sometimes. Say, for example, a meconium impaction. It's not life-threatening, but the foal is behaving like it is. It's rolling, lying on its back, and so on. And when you see these behaviors in an adult, usually it's something very bad going on, and it's not necessarily that in the foal. So I think you need to be to observe them more to determine if they are painful. A foal that is very quiet, that is laying down a lot, that is not curious and, examining its surroundings, a foal that is not going up when you enter the box, for example. And things like heart rate and respiratory rates is less reliable in the foal, because they are very, very easily stressed and they have a greater variation, normal variation there.
Do we have pain scales for foals?
Yes, there is actually. Recently, a study was published on a composite pain scale for foals. I think it was a pilot study, so quite a small one, but it looked promising. And it looked at pretty much the same that we use in the adults, but it sort of combined it. So they looked at facial expression. They looked at specific behaviors such as yawning, moaning, and then also specific behaviors related to the problematic area. So lameness, obviously, degree of colic pain, and then also some of these clinical examination parameters, heart rate, respiratory rate, how painful they were on palpation of the specific area. So that's something you can use probably. It's a bit more objective with these pain scoring systems, but I think it also takes more time. So if you don't have that time, then I think at least in our setting where we hand over patients a lot, I mean, there is someone working the day shift and someone else working the night shift. I think it's very important that you try to communicate the specific pain signs that you see in this particular foal, and then try to determine if giving analgesia improves that. And sometimes I think that's also a way to go, that you suspect that this is painful and you don't really see much in this foal. Maybe it's just slightly depressed, and then you try to give it an opioid, say, and if the behavior improves, then probably it was very painful. So also sort of trial treatment.
And I'm guessing also this communicating about the pain signs, that also goes for when referring a case.
Yes, definitely. Also, it is in the foal as it is in the adult that when they are admitted to a hospital, they are a bit more stressed, they have more adrenaline. So what you have seen at home is probably more reliable. And we usually see the same thing with time, but we're probably not going to see it directly on arrival.
What about treatment then? Which challenges do you have here when it comes to treating pain in foals?
Well, we have some good things with foals. They do tolerate opioids quite well, better than adults, I think. And obviously treatment is less expensive due to lower doses. Though it is, as in children, we have much less data on the effects of the drugs and the clearance, and usually use the same doses for many drugs, and it seems to be working fine, but probably it would be great to have some more studies on that. We have some difficulties also, like if you want to give a CRI, it's usually difficult. If you have an ambulatory foal and you have the mare, then having it connected to tubes will usually just get messed up, so that's a problem. You usually need to contain them in the box to do that, and that's a bit stressful, and you need to see what's best here. And also from own experience, I think we have a problem in the foal that it's difficult to monitor, for example, fecal output in a foal. And if you give a lot of opioids, you can still have decreased gut motility, and you can have constipations, and it can be difficult to see, to recognize that in the foal. You can usually see if they have diarrhea, but the opposite is it's difficult. And I think it's also important to remember you can usually use immobilizing bandages more in foals. They tolerate better if they can't move around with it. They don't get as stressed as adults from that. So you can use that to immobilize a painful area and make it better. And I think a few specifically orthopedic problems can be treated in foals more than in adults, because they tend to lay down and unload the area much more. And I also think that for example, with colic pain, you can also do, sometimes you can just, I don't know, do a bit of walking or something to sort of divert their attention, especially if you have, obviously not if you have a strangulating lesion, but if you have a meconium impaction in an otherwise healthy foal or something like that.
What are the reasons for pain in foals then? Is it mainly orthopedic pain you see, or more medicine related cases, or what's your experience here?
Well, the orthopedic infection cases, so the septic joints and osteomyelitis cases, can be very, very painful, definitely, and they can be really challenging. But also, I think some things like a pneumonia or having diarrhea is probably also painful. And these foals are, I mean, the foal with the severe pneumonia is probably very quiet because it has difficulties breathing, but maybe also because it's painful. And the same goes for the diarrhea case. It's dehydrated, has electrolytes and acid-base abnormalities and so on, but probably it's also painful. So just remembering to also address that, and maybe try something to see if it improves the foal sort of in general.
And what would you typically treat them with, these different cases?
Yeah, it sort of depends also on the age of the foal. We are avoiding nonsteroidals if we can in the really young ones because of the potential effects on blood flow. So and generally, we use a lot of meloxicam in these young foals. It's been shown to be very safe, though they clear it more rapidly than the adults. So we usually use it twice daily. But we also use flunixin, for example, but we are a bit more cautious with it. And as in probably my feeling in adults is that flunixin is more potent compared to meloxicam, but many are good on meloxicam. I wouldn't use phenylbutazone in foals. We never do that. And with regards to colic, we use probably the same as in the adult. Metamizole is can readily be used. And then the opioids is also something that we can use in the foal. So butorphanol is probably available to most vets that can be used. Also, we use morphine and methadone in more severe pain cases. We've also used a bit of lidocaine. Usually you use that as a CRI. Mainly we use it during the anesthesia, but it can be used if used carefully.
Moving on then to what I'm guessing is, at least this time of year, the more common disease that you see in the foals. And that is sepsis. But what is actually sepsis in foals? Can you start by explaining that?
Well, sepsis is a very complex disease. It's not as black and white as one would like it to be. Classically, you think about sepsis being bacteria in the blood. But actually, it's more of an exaggerated and uncontrolled systemic inflammatory response to, I mean, often bacteria, but you can have that also after a severe hemorrhage, major trauma, or viral infection, for example. So things that trigger inflammation. And usually in the well-functioning immune system, you will have a balance between this pro-inflammatory response and you have a counteracting anti-inflammatory response. But in sepsis, there is an overweight of this inflammatory component, and probably the very young foal is less able to regulate this. And a key feature that sort of explains much of it is the fact that you get damage to blood vessels from this inflammatory response. You have migration of leukocytes through the vessel wall, and you have inflammatory cytokines that affect the endothelium. And this makes the blood vessels start leaking fluid. And it also causes some damage to the inside of the vessel, which activates the coagulation cascade. And from resulting thrombi and leakage of fluid, you have a poor microcirculation. And this can happen in any organ. And say it happens in the lung, you will have a poorer oxygenation. And in the kidneys or the liver, you will have a poor detoxification capacity. Maybe you can't regulate your blood glucose anymore. And then also the brain is affected. And then the foal gets very weak. It's not able to stand. It's not able to nurse. And then it will also be deficient on energy. When this happens in the intestine, the gut barrier works less efficient and bacteria can enter the bloodstream. So that's why you have this sort of snowball effect. It starts with something that is not life-threatening, but then as organs start to dysfunction, the foal rapidly deteriorates. And these are the foals that eventually develop septic shock. And despite all the treatment you try to give them, it's too late because you are too far down this slippery slope. So then, of course, you have septic foals that do not develop septic shock within 4-6 hours. These folds are probably better at regulating the immune response and they can contain the infection. And in these cases, you usually get more of a localized infection in a joint or in the umbilicus, for example. So, and I think there is a difference here. The folds with the contained infection, they usually present with fever. Whereas these septic shock folds, they are admitted hypothermic.
But when it comes to recognizing this or which symptoms they are presented with, I'm guessing it depends on which stage they are in this sort of process. But the earliest symptoms, what are those?
I think the earliest sign is usually that the fold is a bit more quiet than usual. It's lying down a bit more and usually has a decreased appetite. And the best way to determine that is to look at the mare's udder. So just from nowhere, she's dripping milk or something. She's really full, and that's something you should really react to, because the normal foal sort of empties the udder regularly. And then, of course, fever and or hypothermia are early signs. And I think if you are examining a foal that is a bit down on the slippery slope, the septic shock type will present with a severely affected mentation. It's probably can be difficult to arouse. Probably it has cold limbs. If you check the blood glucose, it's usually very low. You have a very high heart rate and you have ugly mucous membranes. And in the other group of foals, the ones that are presenting with more localized signs, you may usually see a swollen joint and lameness. And many owners think it's been stepped on by the mare because they saw it just a few hours ago and they couldn't see anything. And now it's very swollen, but it can develop very rapidly. Of course, umbilical swelling or drainage, diarrhea, signs of respiratory compromise.
I'm guessing then that we're in a big hurry now, that if you are, as an ambulatory vet, called out to one of these foals that seems quiet, it hasn't nursed, what can you do in the field to sort of stop this process from getting worse and worse or down the spiral? Is there anything that you can do, or is it just go to the hospital?
No, I think some early sepsis cases can probably be managed in the field. And we've all seen the cases that responds very well to just some glucose, some plasma IV, if that's needed, and if you have that, and antimicrobials. However, I think it's important to do follow-up examinations of these foals, because the localized presentations may not be there yet when you examine the foal at your first visit. And I think it's also a good thing, if you are to treat it at home, to run some bloods or send some bloods away from your initial visit. So say, for example, run hematology and SAA, and then you have something to follow up on. Also, if you are thinking about, well, now I put this foal on antimicrobials, how long should I treat it? Then I think that's a good way to go. And then you also need to go back to repeat your blood samples. So yeah, definitely. And there is also risk of being admitted to a hospital, or maybe, yeah, for many reasons, some foals are better treated at home. And I think as long as you can be there more than once, I think that's possible.
How does one then determine whether to refer or a case or not? Like, what's the warning signs? Is it lack of response to treatment, or what's your opinion there?
Yeah, it's hard to generalize, as it also depends on, how often can you attend this foal in the field? How can you monitor it? How experienced is this owner? How motivated is this owner? But definitely, if you have a foal that is not responding to fluid resuscitation, so that is, say you have a 50 kilo warm blood foal, you've given it 2 or even 3 liters of IV ringers, and it's still cold, it has tacky mucous membranes, it doesn't really want to nurse, that foal is probably heading towards septic shock, so that one probably needs referral ASAP. And also I think some of the maybe a bit brighter and stronger foals, but they don't start nursing after your treatment. It's very difficult for you to keep them on a CRI of glucose in the field, probably. And also if you have a very inexperienced owner who is very worried about the foal, and if you have a long distance to see it again. And then obviously also if you have a diagnosis that requires surgery, say you have a septic arthritis or you have a severe nasty looking umbilical infection, then probably the best thing is to refer it as soon as possible and before this spreads anywhere else. And of course, always give us a ring or the place where you're going to refer it to. But usually we would recommend you to put it on the antimicrobials that you have before you send it. It's been shown there is very good evidence in people that administering antimicrobials within an hour of clinical signs makes a huge difference. So even if it's just intramuscular penicillin, that could probably make a difference.
Has there been any larger breakthroughs in research, or has there been any filling of knowledge gaps the last years when it comes to the diagnostics of these cases?
Yeah, it's always been a challenge to diagnose sepsis. It's not very difficult when they are in septic shock, but it's difficult in these early cases. So since the 80s, people have really tried. There is the classical sepsis score and the modified sepsis score that has been developed. And this is a combination of historical data, such as is the foal premature? Was there something abnormal with the placenta? Clinical signs of the foals and also some blood values. And these perform quite well, but they're not very useful in the field where you can't get arterial blood gases, for example, or fibrinogen. So I think it's also important to know that an experienced clinician can perform as good as these scoring systems. And there has been some newer attempts to find scoring systems, but there is also the problem that in the group where you develop your scoring system, how can you be sure of which ones actually had sepsis? We don't really have a black and white answer to that. And also it seems like these scoring systems, they perform a bit different in different populations. So in the best of worlds, you would have your own sepsis score in your own population. But we have some markers that are good to use. So I think available to many vets here in Scandinavia is SAA. A lot of clinics can run it on their own machine so they can have an answer within 10 minutes or you can send it away. It's been investigated in several studies, and the problem here is that the cutoff to sort of say the foal has sepsis or not is quite varied. There was one study that showed an SAA of 100 had a sensitivity and specificity of around 70%, so that's fairly okay. These were young foals. I think they were less than 36 hours. In the study that I mentioned earlier, that was on a Danish-Swedish population of foals, they were up to 14 days of age. We had a cutoff of around 1,000, so much higher, but also older foals. And I think if you think about the time frame for SAA to be produced in the body, production starts within 6 to 12 hours after the insult and then peaks after probably 48 hours. So if you're really early on, then it's not going to be elevated. And I think I also see in some very, very critically ill foals, I don't think they have the ability to produce SAA. I mean, it's from the liver, and if your liver isn't functioning, it's probably not going to be able to produce it either. So you can also look at leukocytes. I think that's also very valuable, and that's probably even more available to vets in the field. And I think you should recognize that leukopenia in the foal is usually a sign of disease. Leukocytosis can also be from stress, depending on when the bloods were drawn, and normal values can also be a bit higher in foals, but definitely if you have leukopenia, I would be worried. We also have fibrinogen. It's quite extensively used, but it's not very reliable in the acute stage because there is usually a few days before it's elevated. Though I think it's very useful when you have more of a chronic infection, such as an osteomyelitis or a rhodococcus equi infection, then usually you can rely better on your fibrinogen than your SAA. And then there are also some other markers that has been investigated, but I don't think either of them has been validated and has been good enough for us to use yet. So, meaning conclusion, there is no one perfect marker that will tell you if the foal is septic. So use your clinical examination and then combine it with your blood results.
As always, more or less, I guess.
Yeah.
So what about treatment then? Has there been any major breakthroughs when it comes to treatment? I mean, we talked about that more foals are actually recovering today than 20, 30 years ago. And maybe that's due to better treatment and better diagnostics as well, I guess. But what's the news here?
Well, there are no new antimicrobials, obviously, and that's usually not the problem. I looked back at our blood culture results just a few years back, and I mean, pretty much everything is sensitive to penicillin and gentamicin that we use as the standard for septic foals. So that's not the issue. I think it's more about treating them earlier. Mm. But I think probably it's nowadays much easier to monitor blood glucose, blood pressure, and these things. And that makes us able to adjust the supportive treatment much, much better. There has been some interest in anti-inflammatory substances, as we discussed, that this is an unregulated immune response. But unfortunately, it's been rather disappointing. Vitamin C, allopurinol, other vitamins has been looked at. And for some specific, say, for example, you have neurologic deficits, then probably magnesium could be helpful. And also if you have a foal unable to mount a stress response, then probably some steroids can be helpful, but there's not that much there actually. I know there is quite a lot of research into the pathophysiology of sepsis. It's really like basic research. It's not very clinically applicable, but probably this is the way to new treatments in the future.
So maybe we're still waiting for the treatments, but the diagnostics are better, and also the awareness and discovering the symptoms quick.
Definitely.
So what would you say is the most important factor to have success with the treatment of these foals?
So the most important factor, I would say, is probably time. So probably it's education of the owner so that they can recognize that this foal is sick. And also, I think it's important to remember that all of the nursing care that these foals need is also very, very important. Just in a foal with a pneumonia or a premature foal with difficulties with oxygenation, just keeping it in a good sternal position makes a huge difference. And also keeping the foal dry to prevent umbilical problems, for example. And also being able to recognize small differences in the foal. Maybe it looks a bit more bloated. Maybe it has some problems with passing its meconium also. So I think that's very, very important. We also try to have the mare with the foal in the box, even if it may be in a little cage in the box, but to let her be there to be present also. I think that makes a huge difference for the foal to know that there is a mare there that wants it to stay alive.
So last but not least, the economy. I mean, this is a very cost-intensive care and something that every owner, I guess, would have to consider if they have a budget for, but also I'm guessing for the referral vet to be able to inform their clients before sending in a referral case. So how much does it cost to save one of these foals?
If we think about a very sick septic foal, then I would expect this foal to, that we need to give it plasma, for example. And that's nowadays, I don't know, somewhere around 4,000 Swedish kronor per liter. And if you are unlucky, it needs 3 or 4 liters. So there you have probably 15,000. And then with initial examination, you maybe have to do an ultrasound, do some radiographs, blood cultures, sample joints and so on. That's probably also another 15,000. And then it really depends. Does this foal need a person to sit with it every hour? Do we need to feed it or keep its IV fluids running, and it needs a lot of personnel as well, then probably you are looking at somewhere around 80 to 100,000. But we've also seen the foals that recovers from initial treatment, treated for a few days with antimicrobials and monitored with some standard blood samples, that go home for around maybe 40,000. And then, of course, the sky is the limit if you want to continue with things that needs multiple surgeries and so on. But usually they fit within the normal foal insurance that most owners have here in Sweden.
Mm-hmm. If you want to just conclude or send your college a take-home message when it comes to the care of these foals, what would it be?
My take-home message would be that you should rely on your clinical examination. If you think this foal is sick, then probably it is. And just think about the fact that treating foals early improves prognosis very much. And if you're not sure at your first visit, then I think you should revisit the patient.
Short and concise, but we like that. Thank you so much, Anna, for joining us today on this podcast on foals. It's been very interesting. And good luck with the foal season starting.
Oh, thank you.
Tack för att du lyssnar på Hästveterinärerna. Om du gillar det du hör, glöm inte att trycka prenumerera i din podcast-app så att du inte missar några avsnitt. Berätta också gärna om vad du tycker genom att ge en recension. Vi tar gärna emot tips på kommande gäster och ämnen, och våra kontaktuppgifter finns i poddens beskrivning.